Well, how did this whole thing come about? Can you give a little background on that?
Well, we were putting a roof on the hen house, built a hen house. And there was kind of a, what do you call it, rally or pep meeting, the army. American Legion was putting on the kind of a patriotic meeting. And a young fella by the name of Frank Snorf was home on furlough.
Frank Snorf.
S-N-O-R-F.
S-N-O-R-F.
Frank Snorf. Just a little short fella, that's 2 miles east of us. He come by and he said, when I come back, I want to see a flag hanging here at the house. Well, Dad didn't think too much of it. And he was a little windy, you know. So we was on the hen house, and my grandfather's place is on the hill, just a little over a mile, the way the bird flies. And we's on the roof there, and I told Dad, well, it looks like a funeral procession coming over the hill. And he saw it right away. That's that group in Whitewater. So we's putting on tar paper, you know, and sticky stuff, so we went in right quick and cleaned up, and by that time there was well, they didn't have as many cars as now, but I would judge 25, 30 cars. And this, then when they had that pep meeting or whatever you call it in town, this Frank said, all those that want to see something, follow me. And he started out in the car, and nobody knew where they were going. They just simply followed him. And quite a business people, and quite a few people in the neighborhood, after a while, came by and apologized that they had been here. They didn't have no idea what Frank was demonstrating or where we were going or nothing. And so they came out here, and Dad was in the house already, and one fellow by the name of Thomas, he was known as kind of a hothead. He lived about 6 or 7 miles northeast. Was known as a kind of a hothead in the neighborhood. And
was Thomas his last name or his first name?
Last name.
Last name.
I don't know his first name. I don't remember it. And so Dad came out of the house, and I tell you, they were mad. And came up with a flag and said, now you nail this flag up here. And I said, all right. He nailed it up there, and I was standing beside the house there. Some of those people were just awful mad. You didn't notice what might happen.
Where did he nail the flag? On
the porch. On the porch where you walk, on the step where you walk into the porch, onto the porch.
On the top.
Right
above
under
that.
The roof.
Right under the roof.
So it hang down. Oh, about that far down. And Dad nailed it there. And then, I'm not sure, did he say, let's sing America or Star Spangled Banner? I don't know which one. And you could just feel it, that the sentiment changed right now. Mm-hmm. Instead of being so mad and hot, they just changed right now. And and they said, now we want that flag to stay there. Well, Dad said, what if the wind whips it off? Said, loose that way, you know, you're really not supposed to leave a flag out all the time, are you? Isn't there, at night
you're supposed to take it down at that
well, these fellas said, no, that flag stays there.
All night, too?
Stays there. Dad said, well, what if it wind whips it and tears it and you put another one up? There was no questions asked. And so I don't recall if we put another one up in there. You know, they stayed a long time. I mean, it lasts quite a while.
Yeah.
And
what happened to the flag? Do you still have the flag?
I just wonder if that stick is still nailed there. I just wonder if maybe we took it off, the stick off later on. It was just one, the stick was just as big as the flag.
Mm-hmm. But you don't have the flag anymore.
Oh, no, the wind whipped that all to pieces. So, on the way, they stopped, or wanted to stop, at this man. And some said he's an older man and let's leave him alone.
That's the part of it.
Let's get him. And I don't know if they stopped there. I don't think they did. And no, you see, in those days they talked of, and they did some tarring and feathering. I don't know if you know anything about that. They did some of that. And that's what we were a little bit afraid of that might happen here.
I had heard about some of those cases. Did it happen in with the tarring and feathering in Whitewater?
No.
Where did it happen?
I don't know. No. But in those days, you see, we were in war with Germany. And that's what hurt us. Second World War, Japan was kind of a, well, in the German you say Blitzableiter. You understand German? That's a lightning rod, you know. Japan, that took it off of us Germans.
Yeah.
Well, it wasn't nearly as bad in the Second World War. Because we were, then the Japs got it. You know, in California, those Japs were put in concentration camps, weren't they?
Yeah.
If I remember right.
Right.
And you see, that's, we didn't have, you might say, any trouble in the Second World War. No, you see, we had German preaching all the time.
In the churches?
Yeah.
Were there any English services at all at that time?
And then we started so that people could come and listen. Some of our American neighbors could come and listen if we preached pro-German, you know, and that's what they wanted to know.
You started some English services in 1918 then?
Some German, some English in the same sermon, half and half about. And then later on, we had a whole English sermon once a month.
When did you give up the German services entirely? Or are you still some things in German?
Us young Sunday school class kept it up. The old ones died off and us young ones, you see, we change every year. Kind of, well, promotion or demotion, whatever you want to call it, but three or four out of each class go on to the next class. Well, I'm in 5, 6, 7 years. I've been in the last class. The next moved across the driveway to the cemetery. we change off teaching. And I'd say half. We're, I think, 13 in the class, and 6 of them are brothers. Clawson brothers.
Oh, yeah.
And some of them, and then we have two that came over from Germany, the Penners, and after World War I. And of course, they just soon talk German and read German as English.
So you're still holding your Sunday school class in German?
Half, part-time. Now, I never teach in German. We changed off the year. I never teach in German because so many of the German expressions I miss.
Had there been any difficulty with Frank Snorf? Was he trying to? Had there been some problems with with your family?
No, never.
You had gotten along with the Snorks?
Very well, all the neighborhood. He didn't have any trouble there. When he got back to camp, he got it for conducting himself the way he did. I don't know what they did, but we heard later on that they reprimanded him for what he did, the way he conducted himself. So, with the neighborhood, we didn't have any trouble with in our neighborhood during World War I. Oh, there were some that kind of blew off that he wanted us to buy more bombs, or what they call them, Liberty bombs, Victory bombs, or whatever they call them. And they kind of expected you to, every month or so to buy some bombs.
Yeah, I talked to Ernest Claussen a little bit about World War I and the Whitewater community. He said he was at the rally in Whitewater.
Okay.
And he and his older brother.
Yeah.
He spoke about how tense it was. His older brother wasn't applauding when everybody was supposed to applaud, and someone standing beside him asked him if his hands were crippled or something. He mentioned that there were two young men on furlough or at home from camp, the Snorf and somebody else. Now, you don't know if
there were some others, yes, but I don't recall who they were or how many there were, but I know there were, but this Frank was the leader, that's why, and he lived within 2 or 3 miles of us.
Did he come back to this farm after the war? Did you get along with him afterwards?
I don't think that had anything to do with him. I don't recall. I don't know just what he did, but I know later on he was on the Wichita Police Force, he told me. I believe that's right. Somebody run onto him. He stopped somebody from this locality for some reason or other, and that's why somehow we found out that he was on the Wichita Police. But I don't know how long he lasted there or nothing about that.
Were there other families that had to put up flags on their houses, or was just the only one?
I don't know if they asked him to or not.
Mm-hmm.
Or did they put up one and didn't make any fuss about it in regard to him or not?
So they may have stopped at Gus of Harder's place and put up a flag there.
I don't remember that, if they did or not.
Who would know that?
I don't know. The daughter died here just a couple of weeks ago, Mrs. J. Regeer. She lived was in Peabody Home.
I saw the notice in the newspaper.
Now, she was a daughter. And BP is in the home, in Bethel Home, but he's deep and down.
Hmm.
You couldn't talk to him. You couldn't get a thing out of him. So, I just don't know.
Now, here on page 177 is a picture of
Bethel Hospital Board.
The hospital board on the bottom, but I'm interested in this top picture. Was that taken at the home place? Is that the...
Yes. See, that house was destroyed in 1941 when the cyclone came through.
Is that right?
Bierstein, just a quarter mile. And Ethel lived here, and it just kind of wrecked, twisted the house a little bit, and then it took this house and the barn completely.
Now this is the house where Gustav Harder lived.
Yes.
That tornado of 41 killed a number of people, didn't it?
Oh, yeah, 5 or 6.
Did these people that came out, were there any women? Or was it all men?
No, there were some girls. Mm-hmm. No, they didn't know where they was going, you know. They just, you know how the crowd goes, gets excited and just follows the leader and had no idea. And after they saw where they were going, they were with the crowd, they couldn't turn around and get out. They just had to keep it going.
Mr. Clausen remembered a girl by the name of Hoss. H-O-S-S, who gave a reading at the rally.
Oh, that I didn't know.
Do you know this woman? She lives, she's still living someplace.
She sure is. Yeah, I know her well.
Does she live close to here?
Well, from Brainerd, it's 2 miles east of on the highway, and then about a quarter north, and then into Field, at least a quarter of a mile.
2 miles east, a quarter north, and into the field. Which way?
West.
Do you think I could talk to her about whether she was alone on this? And
you could. She's Ruth Hoss Alice. She married a man in Denver or someplace by the name of Allen, and I guess they were divorced. Anyhow, she came back here. That's her home place. And she came back then and came back to the farm, and I've never seen him. I don't know anything about her. But she always signs her name Ruth Hoss Allen. Now, I'm the assessor.
I see.
And for years, you put down your name and your age, of age. But the last year or two, she put down her. I knew all the time how old she was when the school was her in Brainerd. And I knew all the time, but the neighborhood didn't. Now, Poplin has the old settlers day every fall. Or spring. No, it's in the fall. And they ask your name and your age, and then later on they publish it in the paper, who was all there. And somebody made a remark and said just a year or two ago, her age was 65. Well, I said, they might have made a mistake. No, it wasn't 65. It wasn't quite that old. I said, well, that can very easily happen. Printer's mistake, or when the clerk, or the, whatever you call them at the table, might have made a mistake, you know. But they said, and then somebody happened to hear that and said, I stood right there when they asked your age, and that's what she gave. So I guess she didn't want to admit how old she was. But, well, I get along fine with her.
Mm-hmm.
But she is a little peculiar.
When they sang, or when your father suggested that they sing this song, where had he learned that song?
Well, you see, he was born here, and he went to Brainerd School.
He probably learned it in school.
Yeah, and then he went to, he was in Bethel Academy a year or two, and then he went to Emporia,
mm-hmm.
and he taught school.
He taught school around here?
Yeah. You see, we went to Brainerd School 1 year or 2 years, maybe 2 or 3 years, and then we had a German school west of Brainerd, and we had one west of our church. And about every 2 or 3 years, we'd go to that school. But reading, arithmetic, I thought there were three subjects that we carried from the district school order, and German, German grammar, Sprachlehre, German, and some church history. That was on top of.
So your father taught at the German school then?
Yeah, well, and or some English subjects right. went with it.
Mm-hmm. Did they sing more than one verse?
I don't know. I should know which song they sang, but I don't. But I know it was one of the patriotic.
Mm-hmm. When Alan Busenitz told me about this, he said that your father led out in the first verse of the song, and everybody sang along. But then he went on and sang three or four verses, and he knew all the verses.
Yeah, no doubt he did.
And by the time that he was done singing, the crowd was very embarrassed.
Yeah, and they've started backing up.
And they started backing up.
And starting to leave.
So that, you do remember that?
Yeah.